Would you turn to the book of James with me in chapter 5 and verse 19? Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him be known that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Oh, that's what's happening right now. That's what's happening right now. Let me share with you. That is one of the attributes or characters of a disciple, is to turn someone from their ways. I didn't say fix them. I said turn them. Because people go beyond that boundary and begin to try to fix that person when they got no right to. Because you know what? You or I can fix nobody. The only thing we can do is direct them, feed them the word, pray for them. But we can't fix them, can we? You can't force someone to do something, can you? No, you can't. But what we can do is turn them. Turn them in the right direction. You know, so many people spend time trying to fix someone. They miss all the other ones that God is asking them to turn. But the Bible tells us that you and I, as a disciple, and this is the difference between a disciple, because a believer is one who what? He follows, doesn't he? He follows, but he doesn't walk in the power of Christ. He's not willing to lay down his life. But a disciple has given his life. A disciple walks in the kingdom of God. A disciple, there's a difference. Remember, we talked about that there are those who are invited, chosen, and called, or faithful. There are those who are called, chosen, and faithful. And we want to walk in that arena where we are known as faithful, a faithful individual, faithful in everything that we do. When somebody says you're going to be there, you're going to be there. When God sets an appointment for you, you're there. There's a difference. Because see, if somebody can't trust you, either can God. So one of the attributes or characters that God has placed as a disciple is one that can turn sinners away from their ways. Also, there are many who are walking away from the truth that they've known already. In fact, there's probably more people walking away from the truth. And you and I are to turn them back to the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now we know that the Bible says it's truth that makes someone free, right? Well, if you don't practice the truth, how do you get free? You don't. Because there's a lot of people who know the truth but don't put it into practice and they're not free. And there's a difference. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read it together in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. By those who what? Believe. Who believe and what? Know the truth. They're going to be what? They're going to fall away, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what's happening right now. Listen, it is happening right now. People are falling away from the body of Christ, going by their, and starting up their own little garbage. Well, this is what I believe, but not walking by the truth. Not walking by the truth at all. And he says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with what? For it is sanctified by what? The word of God and what? Prayer. The word of God and what? Prayer. Let me tell you something. You and I are sanctified by the word. Amen? We have been set apart, cleansed by the word of God. And God spoke it into me and you. We were created by the word, weren't we? Well, hallelujah. This little word had to get reborn. Had to get born again and cleaned up so that it would be no longer that my flesh was running my life. The Bible says that the word became what? Flesh. The word became what? Flesh. Now, your flesh needs to become the word. So these individuals knew the truth, didn't they? They knew the truth, but because of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, they walked away from the faith. They chose to go their own way according to the lusts and the desires of their flesh and the dictates of their hearts. And these are the ones that God is rescuing right now. He's trying to rescue them in every area because he knows time is short and he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want to leave anyone behind, does he? And so you and I have this ministry of reconciliation, don't we? That's a disciple. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Would you read with me from verse 1? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we with perilous times? Amen. Oh, man, you betcha. For men will be lovers of what? themselves. Remember, a disciple does not have a life. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of what?
Money.
Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers. Without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Now, let me share something with you. That is the difference also. Because there are those who are denying the power. There are many believers out there who are following, but they're still denying the power. Some of them are so afraid they won't cast out a devil, especially the one that's in them. Remember, a disciple walks in the kingdom of heaven. That's where a disciple walks, is in the kingdom of heaven. It's separate from the things of the world, isn't it? You and I have been called to be disciples. The disciple is an area where we're being trained so that the power in the kingdom of God can be manifested through us. But he said, many of them deny the power of God. They deny it. In other words, they won't even give God the opportunity to work on their behalf with the power and the anointing of Christ. When something happens, the first thing they do is they run to the world instead of to the Lord. Sickness, the disease comes. The first thing that's on their mind is they run to the doctor. Now, that's carnally, isn't it? And I'm not saying that thought won't come. But see, when you're in the kingdom and you're walking in the kingdom, before you make that step, you go, all right, hold on a second here. Wait a minute. No. You go to the Lord first. Father. Then you get direction. See, the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. Healing, deliverance, everything will be added unto you because he says he knows what you need, doesn't he? Amen. So you and I as witnesses, the Bible says, receive ye the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit come upon you, you will be a what? Witness and power. That's where the kingdom of God is being manifested in us and through us. And God is setting up apostolic churches. And I'm going to talk about that. And in this area, God is trying to bring us back to the original church where he started it. But people have gotten caught up in so much tradition and entertainment and amusement. They've lost sight that they think their programs is going to rescue individuals. That entertainment is going to rescue individuals. And I'm not saying some things don't. Do you understand? But then what happens is they become in the bondage area where they're still walking in the outer courts instead of the Holy of Holies. They're so excited about salvation, they lose sight about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is what the Lord desires. He didn't come to preach salvation. He came preaching the kingdom of God. That was just one of the attributes of the kingdom, wasn't it? But there was so much more. And he let three of his disciples see his transfiguration. So he saw three men up there, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, everyone representing the tabernacle. I mean, what did they say? Oh, Lord, let us build a tabernacle right for each one of them. Well, see, you and I have a choice to walk in the Holy of Holies or walk in the outer courts. And the Holy of Holies is where God's kingdom is manifested in believers' lives. They're called disciples. Proverbs 21. When you deny the power of God, it disqualifies you from being a disciple. And verse, I think it's 16. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Yow. How many of y'all have seen somebody you know walk away from the Lord? Just about every single one in this room. In fact, there were times when you just couldn't believe it. It's like, man, what's the matter? Why did you do what you do? God was made. He stretched his hand out to you. He showed you all of these wonderful. I've seen people get healed and still walk away from the Lord. I've seen a miracle manifest individual lives and they still walk away from the Lord. Blows my mind. But it says, a man who wanders from the way of understanding, he will rest in the assembly of the dead. And that's what awaits them. That's what awaits them. That's why God is raising up disciples that are walking in the power of Christ to turn people away from the ways of the world. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Having what? Strayed, have turned aside to what? Idle talk. Desiring to be what? Teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Now let me share with you, the reason for this is because they move ahead of God and they refuse to accept the mentoring of the Holy Spirit or come under authority. That's called an independent spirit that infiltrates the body of Christ, that moves people out of position. And they move ahead of God. And that independent spirit, when that person snags and gets bound by that independent spirit, he begins to take heed and relies on things that they feel. Things that they feel. They become independent. They begin to go, and actually they change doctrine according to their purposes. And they walk away from the mentoring of the Holy Spirit and the mentoring of in the body of Christ in the area where God has put them under authority. And they begin to move out in their own desires and not the ways and divine order of God. Is everybody with me? I mean, is everybody here what the Spirit is saying today? These are things that move people out of position and they get snagged and get right brought back to where they started from. It is that simple. You got to remember, the Bible says, make no provision for the devil. None. He's looking for any area. I've seen so many people come and go and get snagged with that independent spirit. Blows my mind. I get people to come in our discipleship program. The first time I meet them, they sit down and I say, hey, you know, I've been sent here to help you. I said, praise God. I'll tell you how you can help me. Submit and be quiet. And you can help me. I mean, the person just comes out of jail, just gets delivered 2 weeks from drugs and alcohol, and they want to be an officer in the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong with the officer of a body of Christ, the desire to be one. But in position of one, God doesn't do that right away, does He? We have to earn His trust, don't we? So there are those areas where you and I must be mentored. We must be mentored by the Holy Spirit and brought under authority, covering of God. But too many people get snagged up in this independent spirit. You know, I can only share with you many, many times where somebody's come to me and said, well, you know, I've got it, now I'm ready. Praise God. How long have you been here? 6 weeks. Well, aren't you committed to 9 months? I'm ready. My wife needs me, this needs me, that needs me. I got to go do this, I got to go do that. That's called independent. What's the independent start with? I. Go to Proverbs 5. Those are traps from the devil. People bite them. Verse 21. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. You know, there are many people who are caught up in this independent spirit. And of course, an independent spirit is also associated with a spirit of pride. When there's instruction, they reject it, or if there's counsel, they reject it. And these are the things that infiltrate the body of Christ. Remember, the Bible says, submit to God, then you can resist the devil. Submit to counsel, correction, and direction. Submit. We're to be disciples of the Most High God. A disciple is one who is a submissive individual, not an independent. Amen? We're to be dependent on the Lord, not independent. The only thing that we want to be is in an area where we're dependent on the Lord. He makes us independent from the ways of the world. That's a different thing, isn't it? As you depend on the Lord, He makes you independent from the ways of the world. But He does not make you independent from the body of Christ. God never interrupts Himself. Never. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? All things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Do you know that everything has become brand new today?
Hallelujah.
This moment, everything is becoming brand new. Every time that clock ticks, one, two, everything's becoming brand new. Everything should be constantly becoming new as a believer and a disciple of Christ. Not old. Everything is becoming new. Why? Because you're walking in a brand new life. Eventually, you're going to shed this cocoon and become that sweet butterfly. Hallelujah. Everything is becoming brand new. Every moment. Time is not wasting. You're just getting closer. Everything is becoming brand new. In verse 18, now all things are of God, has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Who's he committed it to?
Us.
Disciples. It's one of the characters of a disciple. It's to turn people away from sin and turn the believer who is backslidden back to the Lord. Amen? That is the ministry of a disciple. That's one. Let me share with you. A disciple has many ministries. Remember, a disciple walks in the kingdom that's not of this earth. Amen? But he has many ministries, and one of the major ministries that a disciple has is reconciliation. Does everybody understand that? Reconciliation. And the other ministry is on 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Start at verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. Oh, no one said to be a disciple was going to be easy. There are going to be believers who are going to come against you. That's what separates a believer from a what? Disciple. Verse 5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Hello? Be serious and what? Watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love of what? Cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as what? Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The other ministry I want to just share briefly about is stewards. We have a ministry of reconciliation and a ministry of stewardship. See, the world is looking at the ministry of reconciliation that you're walking in. And they're also looking at you as being stewards. Stewards of what? Everything. The number one thing is being a steward of your conduct. Hello? Being a steward of your conduct. Being a steward of your finances. Being a steward of the Word of God. Being a steward of the place God's plugged you into, the church. You know, it's not about denominations. Everybody has fellowships. God has placed fellowships, hasn't He? Specific fellowships for specific purposes, that the body of Christ may work together. There should be no division. The only one that brings division is the devil. And the devil brings division by traditions of men. Now, there are times when the Lord puts me with people, and the first thing I realize, I'm like, you know, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this, because this person does not believe in anything about casting out devils or laying hands on the sick or the move of the Spirit. And He says, go beyond that and love that person. See, we've got to go beyond these things and love that person, because God, if God's going to use that person just bring people to the kingdom of God, praise God. See, I want more. I want all that the Lord has for me. I want every bit of drop of blood that He dripped for me. Every bit. Everything He's done. Every groan and every agony. Every tear and every bit of flesh that He shed. I want every bit of it for me. That I can express it, because see, you can't give what you don't have. And a steward is someone who takes care of the things of God that God can trust. But see, the Bible says if you can't take care of your own little things, how's He going to trust you with the bigger things, right? How's He going to trust you? See, people get involved in the area where they can't trust God in all of their in certain parts of their life. And if they can't trust God, then God can't trust them. Can you trust someone that can't trust you? No way. You can't. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know. See, a steward is one who's trusted. God can give that person something and trust Him. Doesn't mean He's going to be perfect, but He can trust Him. Doesn't mean He won't make a mistake, but He can trust Him. So remember, disciples are these two things I just wanted to share today, which is important about disciples. Disciples go on to become apostles and prophets and so forth. They become kings and fulfill their kingship and become warriors of Christ. They go beyond the arena of the tradition that has been imparted by man coming down the, I'm going to say the family line, but I guess it's been down the family line. But we want the true family line tradition, amen? Where the Lord says, in my name they'll cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and so forth and speak with tongues. We want it. People are looking for the power of God. We've got to walk in that arena where the power of God is manifested in us, because then the kingdom of God is manifested. It allows you to become a disciple of the living God, because Jesus is alive, working through each and every one. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them. Amen, and be separate. God is bringing us to another place where you and I are no longer led by our circumstances, but we can change them by the word of the Lord. That we're no longer led by how we feel or what we see, but we can change it according to the will of God. Remember, the Lord exposed Himself and revealed Himself to Moses. Then He sent Moses. He used Moses to change things, didn't He? Hey, Moses had a lot of circumstances around him where even his own people, the believers, came against him. Hello? They were supposed to be all believers. Well, man, they all came against Moses and they were upset with him because things didn't go according to what was supposed to happen, according to their tradition of thought. But God still used Moses to bring His people out of bondage, didn't He? And God wants to use you to bring His people out of bondage. That's a disciple. Amen? Praise be to God. Would you open your books to your swords, pull them out, sharpen them up, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we were discussing prior about a believer, between the difference between a believer and a disciple. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. How many of y'all want to be disciples? Amen. Praise God. You're tired of being a believer and want to be a disciple. Amen. That's the next level. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, He ascended, what does it mean but that He also first descended into the lower pits of the earth, or parts of the earth, which was hell. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. Far above what? All the heavens. Far above what? All the heavens. So everything's underneath Him, right? That He might fill all things. In verse 11, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. Say it again. May grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. What? No, every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So if not if every part is doing its share, it does not cause growth, does it? Listen, here it talks about, this is powerful because this is an apostolic church. This is a representation of an apostolic church. The church represents the body of Christ. You understand that? When Jesus said in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ is the church. Amen? He's talking about an apostolic church that God is raising up. That's what started. It was an apostolic church what started. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this. It says, equipping the body of Christ or the church with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the truth of His Word, revelation of His presence and purpose and faith to manifest His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That is an apostolic church, and I'm going to repeat this so you can write it. An apostolic church. God is equipping us, the body of Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of His Word. Not just His Word, the truth. A lot of people know the Word, don't have revelation of it. Revelation of His presence and of His person and purpose. Revelation of His person and purpose. In other words, the revelation of who He is. Revelation of His person and purpose and faith to manifest His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Is everybody with me? I'm going to say this one more time. He is equipping the body of Christ or His church with the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of His Word, revelation of His person and purpose, faith to manifest His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That is a representation of an apostolic church. And that's what God is calling His body into right now. An apostolic church is a prophetic church. It's prophetic. That moves according to the Holy Spirit in the present, that prepares the saints for a future position for battle. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, get with me. An apostolic church is a prophetic church that moves according to the Holy Spirit. That moves according to the Holy Spirit in the present, that prepares the saints for the future position for battle. Is everybody okay? Want me to repeat one more time? Yeah. Well, you might all need to get the tape. Hallelujah. A prophetic apostolic church is a prophetic church that moves according to the Holy Spirit in the present, that prepares the saints for the future position for battle. It is a warring church overseen by apostolic anointing and office. It is a warring church that's overseen by an apostolic anointing and office. Okay, an apostolic church is a prophetic church that moves according to the Holy Spirit in the present, that prepares the saints for the future position for battle. It is a warring church overseen by an apostolic anointing and office. Is everybody with me? Now, didn't we just say, what is the body of Christ? What are the offices? It says, and He Himself gave some to be what? Apostles, that's the first one, isn't it? Apostles. Some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Is everybody with me? Okay. For what? The equipping of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ, isn't it? For the work of the ministry. God is raising up an apostolic church. In fact, He never wanted an apostolic church to diminish. It all started when denominations started coming in. When people started associating with the spirit of error and division in the body of Christ began. And people got off on their own doctrines. They tried to improve God instead of staying, being led by the Spirit of God. Is everybody with me? And then things began to happen and we started up all of these names trying to improve what God had done already. If they'd have just stayed according to what happened in the upper room all the way down and being led by apostles and prophets and so forth, which God had placed in position so that the move of the Spirit can be expressed to the body and everybody can flow right along with it. Amen? Does everybody understand what an apostolic church is? God is raising up. Jesus was an apostle. He was the highest apostle there was, wasn't He? Amen? Go to Acts chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, if these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when He was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of His resurrection. And they purposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two You have chosen to take part in this ministry and what? Apostleship. from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on something like Matthias. And he was what? Numbered with the what? 11 apostles. Apostles are sent. Do you understand that? Apostle means sent. They are sent. They are sent by, first of all, you got to understand something. Apostleship is a representation of overseer. Okay? But they are sent. You notice that how these men were called apostles. The first 12 that were with Jesus, they were disciples and then became apostles. Amen? Because the Lord sent them, didn't they? And the Lord began to use them to oversee and to for a specific mission and purpose. Majority of the apostles are sent by, normally, a personal visitation by Jesus himself. Majority, normally, almost 99.9% of the time, God chooses apostles by a personal visitation by himself. Is everybody with me? To fulfill the purpose of building and equipping his church. They are trained and prepared by the Holy Spirit and mentored by an apostolic office of another individual. They can fulfill any office at any request of Jesus for the preparation of his church at his command. An apostle is normally visited, personally visited by Jesus Christ. To fulfill the purpose of building and equipping his church, they are trained and prepared by the Holy Spirit, mentored by an apostolic office of another individual. They can fulfill any office at the request of Christ for the preparation of his church at his command. Is everybody with me? Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, the number of the what? Disciples was multiplying. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenites, or the Hellenists, thank you, because their widows were neglecting in the daily distribution. Now, these Hellenists, these are Jews, hello, that speak Greek, okay? They're Jews that speak Greek. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, and a few other guys, whom they set before the apostles. Who they set them before? The apostle. Who set them before? The disciples. You understand? These were disciples, weren't they? Who were set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and a number of the what? Disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Disciples. Remember, we talked about the difference between the believers and disciples. A believer is one who follows, but he's not manifesting the kingdom of God. A disciple is one where the kingdom of God is being manifested through him. Hello? Where he's walking in the kingdom that is not of this world. And this is where you got to look at where you're at. Are you just a believer? Or are you a disciple? Is the kingdom of God truly manifesting in you? Or through you? Or are you a believer? Are you just following? That's what the Bible says, "In my name they will what? Cast out devils." In other words, the power of Christ is manifesting in you. People are seeing the power of God. They are actually seeing the kingdom of God in you by what you're doing. Amen? Disciples, working the kingdom of God in an apostolic church. An apostolic church is people building. Hello? It's people building, people providing, and loving people. Let me write this again, or say this again. An apostolic church is people building, people providing, and loving people. Because what were they doing? They realized that these widows were being neglected, weren't they? And they chose enough men to take this office or this ministry to begin to help these widows. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 61. No? Hold on. Yeah, go to Isaiah 61. Glorious. Isaiah 61. Let it rain. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61. Verses 1 through 3. Would you read it with me, please? Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. This is the apostolic anointing. This is the apostolic anointing. Is everybody with me? It's the apostolic anointing. And to have an apostolic church, there must be apostolic people. Because without an apostolic people, there's no apostolic church. Hello? Now, what is an apostolic church? It is a church. An apostolic church is a prophetic church that moves according to the Holy Spirit in the present, that prepares the saints for the future position for battle. It is a warring church overseen by an apostolic anointing and office. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord has given us this anointing. This apostolic anointing is in Isaiah 61. Why? Because the true apostle is Jesus. That's why He's the overseer of the whole church, isn't He? But many have moved away from His apostolic position and office. Is everybody, and they've gone on to their own offices. They become self-ordained individuals. There are self-ordained pastors, preachers, and teachers, and evangelists out there. And apostles. Remember, Paul warned about the false apostles. Why? Because they're claiming these offices, they exalt these offices instead of exalting the Lord. And the power of God is not moving in that office. No deliverance, no healing, no revelation. That's all it is word, word, word. That is not an apostolic anointing. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. And God is trying to bring His whole church under this apostolic anointing, under the true apostle, Jesus the Christ. Now go to John 15. Would you read with me, starting at verse 1? I am the what? True vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He what?
Fruit.
He what?
Fruit.
He what?
Fruit.
He what now?
Fruit.
Oh, so you're going to get pruned. That it may bear what?
More.
Oh, hallelujah. How many want to bear more fruit? Then you're going to get pruned. Welcome to prune. And that doesn't mean sitting in the bathtub till you prune. Hello. You're going to get crushed for His glory. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, I want to go back just a little bit. In verse 2, it says something. It says, and every branch in me that does not what? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. So the first level is to bear fruit. Amen? To bear fruit. Remember, a disciple is another level above a believer. Hello? And he's saying, listen, you're going to have to bear fruit. Then it says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear what? More fruit. So you've got fruit and you've got more fruit. Hello? And verse 5. And I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. So we've got fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Three levels of bearing fruit. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And we've got to come to that area where much fruit is being bare. That is apostolic. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, my what? My words, my character, my mind abide in you. And you abide in me. In other words, that can't be manifested unless you're abiding in him first. It doesn't happen until you begin to learn how to abide in him that his character begins to abide in you or manifest through you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be what? Done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you what? Come on, read it with me. That you bear much fruit. That you bear what? Much fruit. So you will be my what? Do you understand? Even a disciple is not acknowledged until he bears much fruit. It's not fruit or more fruit. It's much fruit. What comes out of your mouth, it's the character of Christ. How you speak, how you walk, how you act, how you react to things, where you're bearing much fruit. It's just not about laboring. Do you understand that? Is everybody with me? It's about attitude. It's about motive. It's about desire. It's about character. That's how you bear much fruit. Why? Because people are going to want to eat from your tree. Because they're going to see what you have. And they're going to want it. See, then when they come to you, you're able to lead them to the Lord, aren't you? You're able to pray for them. However, God brings it across your path. You're able to pray healing for them and everything else. Why? Because you're walking in an apostolic anointing. Oh, hallelujah. So there's fruit. More fruit and much fruit. A disciple is another level above a believer. One of the things that needs to be done is when it says abide in me, we need to be connected in the Spirit, abiding. We need to be connected, constantly connected in the Spirit. Constantly connected in the Spirit so that we're connected to the Lord. Why? Because He sits at the right hand of the God. That's how you are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places. The only way that you can be seated in heavenly places is to be connected. If you are not connected, you are not seated. The Lord said that you're cleansed by my word. So we know that there's got to be a connection, a constant abiding. He says you're cleansed by my word. In other words, that's sanctification. We must make a choice to be sanctified. The more sanctified you are, the more sanctified you are, the more away you are, is the level of your call. See, how much you want to separate yourself from the world and the things of the world is how much God is going to allow your calling. So you have the choice of the level of your calling. You can stay a pew warmer. You can stay a doorkeeper. You can stay an usher, a collection individual. You can stay whatever you want. How much you sanctify yourself allows how much abiding, how much connection, and the level of your calling. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So we see that there's sanctification or separation. Another thing that we've got to be able to do is keep the Word. Keep God's Word. Keep Christ's Word in us. In other words, hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. You know what? Let me share something with you, very important. Faith is manifested within us when we see. faith is manifested in us when we see. So there's hearing, and then there's seeing. See, without hearing, you can't see. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. Why? So that you can see. See, because once you are able to see in the Spirit, faith is produced and you know exactly what you're supposed to do. Amen? I was in prayer the other day and I saw a relative of mine. I thought, whoa. And the Holy, I mean, showed me his face clear as day. And I said, yeah, I know him. He said, he's sick. And I want to heal him. I thought, whoa. Now this relative lives in California. I tried to call, I didn't have his number, I had to call a family member to get his number. Now this relative knows who I used to be. You know, and then he found out how I turned my life over to the Lord and so forth. But I probably haven't talked to him or seen him in a couple of years or so, or longer than that. 4 years, 5 years, I don't know. And so when I got a number and I called and it would not go. I mean, I would call and there wasn't a ring, nothing. Man, I would call that number over and over and over. And I'm like, man, I can't get through no matter what. So the Lord said to me, call again tomorrow. I thought, man, so I prayed against him, whatever. I called that same number. I waited today until I got quickened by the Holy Spirit. He said, call him now. I called him, first ring, there he was. And I shared some stuff with him. I said, man, I saw you. I said, you're sick? Yes. He's had some, I can't even pronounce the disease that they've claimed on him. Anyways, I just shared with him that God was going to heal him. I share with them what the Lord had given me and the scriptures He gave me for him. And to stand strong, don't go by what you feel or whatever. I'm praying for you. In fact, his name is Pat. So pray for him. God's going to heal him. He's already healed him. But he learned a big lesson. He's been going to church on Sundays. They read their Bibles, but no apostolic anointing, no apostolic church. You know? Individuals are crying out for healing but don't know how to get it. And I'm believing God has already healed him. But it was very powerful. Why? Because the Lord shows you things. And He'll show you things. In other words, as you hear, faith comes by hearing. Hearing brings a vision. It brings a sight. It brings something you can see, which makes it tangible. Now your faith is increased and you know that you know that you know. Now, of course, you got to be careful who you hear. Because he can produce the same thing. Amen? How many of you all have seen negative things? I mean, the devil starts showing you. I mean, you hear something, you see the wrong thing. Oh, man, I'm sick. Oh, man, I'm this. Oh, man, I'm lost my job. Oh, man, this. Oh, man, that. Oh, this person's talking about me. That person's, oh, no, I'm talking about what? And the devil begins to show a different picture. Well, you and I should have the discernment to say no to those things. You have the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to say no to those things and wipe them behind you. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. This is the area where, remember something Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first.
Amen.
That's the difference between a believer and a disciple. He sees his Father do it first. He has sight. He just doesn't move by things falling into place. He doesn't move by, he sees. He hears. He sees, his faith is built up, things, confirmations, knowing, yes, this, not assuming. That's the difference between a believer and a disciple. That's why many believers get themselves in trouble, because they're still assuming. Well, this must be God. Well, look, not every good deal is God. Because you can pile your good deals up in warehouses, and they will have no effect on you. They can be good deals forever, but they're not God deals. That's a difference. There's a God deal and a good deal. Amen? And it comes by hearing so that you can see. And then remember Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. That is the difference between walking inside and out. Hello? In other words, looking from inside out or looking from outside in. Does everybody understand what I just said? You know why? Because many people are looking outside in. They're reacting on what the circumstances are. They're reacting on what's going on in their life and how they're feeling. That's outside looking in. If you're reacting on what other individuals are towards you, then you're walking out, you're looking outside in. There's a difference. As you begin to walk in the Spirit, where God has you placed, you begin to walk according to looking from inside out, you're able to see. Other than that, the devil's going to place pictures to you, different sights that are going to affect you. Amen? That are going to bring low self-esteem. You're going to react to everything because you're still looking from outside in instead of inside out. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. It says, glorifying the Father by allowing His character to manifest in us. It says right here in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Colossians chapter 1. So we need to become apostolic people so that the apostolic body of Christ can be joined and knit together, fulfilling the purpose as an apostolic church. All boldness, walking in faith, not walking outside looking in, but inside looking out. Dying daily, hallelujah. Being obedient, right, to everything. And my wife brought something out to me. She said, you know, hon, she says the word die is in the word obedient. I said, ooh, good. Obedient. The word die is in the word obedient. Whoa, glory. Starting at verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God of our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your what? Faith in Christ Jesus and your love for the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Does that sound like an apostolic church? Amen. Which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth what? Fruit. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. One of the first things in an apostolic church is it's a praying church. It is a praying church with praying people. It is a praying church, fruitful with love in the Spirit. Amen? It is a praying church. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First four verses, if you'd read it with me, please. Therefore, I exalt first of all that what? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in the authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we see here that an apostolic church is a praying church, isn't it? It is a praying church, fruitful with the love and the Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 4. That was known as intercession. They were making intercession, aren't they? Did you notice how God began to change things around here? He started saying, okay, start praying in the afternoon. Start praying here. God is changing things. Listen, you cannot go anywhere without prayer. Individuals who don't pray do not have a life. Not according to Christ. No prayer, no life. You're a drag along. You're a weight until you begin to pray and to get in. Acts chapter 4. Well, I don't have enough time to pray. Well, by the time you get time, it'll be too late. You'd be wishing you prayed when it's hot around that place. You'd be praying like crazy and it'd be too late. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Now the Lord look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That they're praying this, man. Go ahead. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke of the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed, who what? Who believed, were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor were there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had what? Need. So they were not lack. These were praying people. Their prayer shook the heavens and opened doors to declare the word. It was a church of unity and fellowship. It was there to help those who were in need. Their life was not first. Their life was not first. Amen? See, prayer brings blessing and power. Prayer brings blessing and power. Amen? So it's got to be a praying church. And they've got to be praying people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. This is very powerful. That we may what? See your face. Now, look at this prayer. What he's saying, listen, we need to be more personal. An apostolic church is to be a personal church, united together. It's to be personal church. We're not individuals trying to hide. People want to hide their believers. Disciples are more personal. How you doing? You all right? Everything okay? Anything I can do for you? Many people like to run sometimes and hide in big organizations because they don't want to be exposed. Because they're not personal. They're not personal. Amen? An apostolic church must be personal. Go to verse 11. Now look at this prayer for the church. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. Face to face, a personal church, not a busybody, not a criticism, but a fellowship and watching others' backs. Following up, checking to see if needs are met and if they're okay. It's a personal church. Amen? It's an apostolic church, to be personal. Go to Psalm 133. It's not an independent spirit, it's a dependent spirit. To where you're independent from the world and totally dependent on Christ. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to what? Dwell together in unity. Running down the beard of Aaron. Now Aaron was a priest. Running down the edge of his garments. What was running down? The anointing. Hallelujah. That apostolic anointing. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mount of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Life forevermore. It is good for brethren to dwell in unity. Go to Hebrews 10. We're to be a praying church, a personal church, not an independent, but dependent. And verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Repeat that with me. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Say it again. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, you're either assembling or disassembling. Amen? You're either assembling or disassembling. People, I see many people who come out of the flock. You know what happens? They begin to disassemble. Or they become independent while in the flock, and the devil begins to use them to disassemble the flock. There is no loners. Everybody needs everyone. I don't care how great a ministry is or how great that office is. That individual needs his brothers and sisters. No one makes it alone. Jesus said, here are my brothers and sisters and my mother, those who do the will of God. You're either assembling or disassembling. Remember, that is the great deception of the devil. He loves to get one of his God's sheep to come out, and he turns them into a goat, which becomes rebellious. And then they believe that they don't need to assemble. And the problem is they're perishing. They're disassembling because they're not getting the anointing. They're not getting fed spiritually. Then they begin to work many hours and try to get fed in certain areas, and they can't. It even is difficult for them to raise the Bible and begin to read the Bible. They might flick on a station for 5 or 10 minutes, but they can't even stand watching it on TV. Eventually, they'll go back and become disassembled. You're either assembling or disassembling. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Fulfill your call. Your call is not out of the body of Christ. It's in the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If that means you have a choice. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. So we must continue in the faith as stewards of faith. We are stewards of faith, the church of faith and trust. So we see here that the church must be a praying church. An apostolic church is a praying church, a personal church, and a church of faith and trust, isn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Say, be an example. To who? To the believers in the word. Why? Because you're to be disciples. A disciple better be an example to a believer. A believer cannot be an example to a disciple. But be an example to the believers in word in what? Conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Wow. That's what we're to be. What? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Disciples, to be examples to believers. The church that imparts and impacts into individual lives. We are to impart and impact in individual lives. Remember, this is the church of Jesus Christ, not a denomination or an organization, but a living body of Christ. Does everybody understand it? I'm not talking about an organization. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the body of Christ as an apostolic church. It's not about an organization or a location. God is trying to raise up an apostolic church. And until the fellowships begin to turn into apostolics, a church themselves, the fellowships, so it can spread from one to another. Go to Romans 1. See, Paul was trying to impart and impact. We must be a church that imparts and impacts individual lives. Let's be a church of faith, one that bears fruit, personal. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your what? Faith is spoken, wow, throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by some means now, that I at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may what? That I may what? Impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be what? Established. That's the purpose of imparting and impacting. That individual can be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have somewhat fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. You begin to see the correlation of the church and the beginning to now. Look at through the body of Christ. You're not seeing this everywhere, are you? I am a what? Debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Imparts, pray, faith, and fruit. You see it repeat itself. It imparts, it prays, faith, and fruit. Proverbs 29. What's it imparting? A vision. It imparts a vision. Do you understand that? It imparts a vision. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, something like that. Where there is no revelation. Now, this word revelations means prophetic vision. It means prophetic vision. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. So you understand something. One of the things that the church is to do is impart a prophetic vision. If there is not an impact, or an impartation of prophetic vision, they cast off restraints. They begin to perish. They begin to go astray. The impartation of a prophetic vision, we are to impact or impart. We're to have purpose and vision. It impacts or imparts purpose and vision. That's what the church is supposed to do. Has everybody got it? It's supposed to impart purpose and vision. It starts with fulfilling vision of the fellowship where you're at, which imparts your vision. Everybody got it? As you begin to fulfill the vision where you're at, God begins to impart His specific vision for you. Why? Because my people go astray. They cast off restraints with no prophetic vision. Remember, Paul was going to them to impart something. What was he imparting? Vision. Go to Philippians 3. He was to impart a vision and purpose. Because without no vision, there is no purpose, is there? If you can't, in other words, hearing brings a what? Vision. Vision brings a what? Purpose. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I what? Press on. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What's he got? He's got a purpose now, isn't he? He's got a purpose. He's able to press on. It doesn't matter. Why? Because he heard, he saw, he has a purpose now. It doesn't matter. He's going for it all the way. Doesn't matter what comes across his path. Why? Because he's walking in the apostolic anointing. I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind. Let me tell you, you want to quench the Spirit quickly? Look behind. Lot's wife looked behind. Not only quench the Holy Spirit, but quench her spirit. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are what? Mature, have this mind. Have what? Have this mind. Have this vision. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the what? Same mind. An apostolic church walks in the same mind. They are like-minded. This fellowship should be like-minded. Romans 15, verses 1 through 6. Is everybody all right? Are you getting imparted? Are you getting impacted? Romans 15, verses 1 through 6. We then who are strong ought to what? Bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Yeah, you got to get out of the way again. Obedience is death. Let each of us please his what? Neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be what? Like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like-minded. How are we going to be like-minded? With compassion, authority, vision, and power. People are going to know where you came from, you know. They're going to know what fellowship you're from. They know. I've had people who call and say, man, I ran into somebody such and such and whatever, and I knew that person was from your fellowship because of his character. And it was a good one. Philippians chapter 2. People are going to know whether you're walking in the apostolic or you're walking in religion. They're going to know. They're going to know whether you're walking with their power and authority. They're going to know whether you're a believer or a disciple. They're going to know. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Paul was saying, I don't have anybody like-minded. So I'm sending you Timothy, my son. Here's my son. I'm sending him because we're like-minded. See, that's the difference. There's where Paul was, who had children, that they became like-minded. Not all of them were the like-minded. But he was able to warn because he knew that when he sent that one, that individual, Timothy, was like-minded. He knew that he would react to things and make decisions to things according to his apostolic office. For all seek their own, and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. He said, I'm looking for more who will be like-minded. Amen? Spiritual fathers sending out their sons and daughters that are like-minded. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with what? Purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church. They did what? For a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now that's powerful. They were purpose of heart, weren't they? They had a new heart. And listen, Christians are supposed to be disciples. They're supposed to be disciples. They're supposed to be God. When we're acknowledged as Christians, we're to be disciples. One thing I tell people, man, I said, look, if you're miserable, don't go tell nobody you know Jesus. Go home and get right, man. If you're grumbling and complaining, don't tell them you know Jesus. Go get in the presence of God. Start abiding, and you'll find, as you abide, that you'll change. See, the problem is too many people are being led by circumstances and looking outside, looking in, instead of inside looking out. They're outside looking in. That's the difference between a believer and a disciple. And let me tell you, you can fall from that state. You can be a disciple one day and a believer the next. You can be a wonderful disciple that morning in prayer, and that afternoon you get challenged. The next thing you know, you're a believer. Oh, man, you know. That's that state of being, isn't it? We want to be disciples under the apostolic anointing, fulfilling the office, fulfilling the purpose, like-minded. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all full of one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were what? All healed. That's a church with power. And that's what God is bringing us up to. A church with power. Go to Mark 16. That's an apostolic church, a church with power. You got to make the choice to want to be a disciple, you know. Mark 16 and verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents." Hallelujah. "And if they what? Drink anything deadly, or by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick." They will what? Lay hands on the sick. And they will what?
Recover.
That's the commission of an apostolic church. In Matthew 28, and we'll close here. Verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" That is the Great Commission. Everybody understand the difference in an apostolic church? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, as you continue to disciple us by your Spirit, we thank you for the apostolic anointing that is here. We thank you that you are the true apostle, the great I am. We thank you for not only your word, but your presence and your Spirit. We thank you for the price that we may walk according to this anointing. Lord, I pray tonight a blessing over each and every one, and that you continue to draw us, that we be more sensitive to your Spirit, that when you quicken us to pray, we pray. When you say, "Wait, wait," and when we don't know what to do, we'll wait. That we learn how to hear and see, that we may be footsteps of Jesus. As he said, "I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first." Lord, let your apostolic anointing rest upon each and every one of us. Bring conviction, bring change, bring deliverance, and bring healing to each and every one here tonight, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.